Be still my soul. That is something that we need to practice. We need to talk to ourselves. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." Sometimes we really need to talk to ourselves very firmly and say, "Calm down." Just calm down. Just calm down. That's the entire message of that psalm. After we have the Lord's Supper, I intend to sing, to lead you in a song. "When I survey the wondrous cross," I thought I would read to you the first stanza, and then may the Lord help us that from here till there, He will lead us to this place. It says this: "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain, I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride." Tonight, we're going to look at specifically some soldiers. They're around the cross. Let me read to you where God's word says, "Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews.' And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him." This is our Savior. This is one of the infinite reasons why we love him so deeply. Soldiers, common, ordinary, normal, average soldiers who have no particular interest in treating Jesus differently than any other condemned prisoner. They're not picking on him because he's Jesus. His life is of no value to them. They're going to kill him. There's no reason to think that they really have much understanding of him. They do know that they are going to put his crime, so-called, posted on the cross. That is, this is the King of the Jews. They know that he has been condemned to death. So to toy with him for a little, though it may not have been condoned, there's no problem for people to look the other way. It was irrelevant to them, but not to me, not to you, not to Jesus, and certainly not to the Father. And we know most definitely not to the one who recorded this, so we could read it tonight, the Holy Spirit of God. We have it here, forever settled in heaven, these words. Jesus has prayed in Gethsemane. He has been betrayed by Judas. He has been the object of a mock trial by the Sanhedrin. He has then been examined and scourged by Pilate. We read this passage when Jesus is standing in the middle of a mob of soldiers. Notice carefully, as I'll take apart just 9 things that this text says that the soldiers did to Jesus. I can't elaborate on this. These words are self-evident. It doesn't need any explanation. Listen to what the Word of God says that the soldiers did in their fun with the Son of God. They stripped him. They put a scarlet robe on him. They put a crown of thorns on him. They put a reed in his hand, common, ordinary, available anywhere. They're mocking him. They're dressing him up as a court jester, as a clown, a mock king. They bowed their knees before him. It was the first time for them to do that. It will not be the last. They mocked him with their tongues. Those tongues will say different words in time to come. I don't know why, and I'm not sure that this is necessary for all, but for me, the next one is shockingly moving. They spit on him. For me personally, I'm not sure why, but I like to think about that. I do not like it. But it ministers to me. It is so gross. It is so humiliating. They smote his head. They led him to the cross. What are we to make of this? Well, there are several things we know. Number one, Jesus loves his Father. The Bible says prior to this, "Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." But he wasn't done yet. His struggle was not resolved yet. He prayed very specifically, "Let this pass from me." He also very specifically said, "But not as I will, but as you will. I want the cup to pass, but I want something more than that. I want the cup to pass, but I want something more than that. And what I want is for your will to be done, Father. If it can be your will that the cup pass, good. But if the cup is your will and there is no alternative, I want your will." I think we can say that he is clearly struggling. So intense was this struggle that he sweat. Now, you probably know your Bible well enough to know, no, he didn't just sweat. He just sweat great drops of blood. Yeah, but we can't even perceive that. We can perceive sweat. We can perceive the intensity of emotional, visceral, deep-seated soul moving direction of heart and thought that would maybe even cause us to perspire. And he went way beyond that. Fascinating. But it was subsequent to that that it says he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done." But he wasn't done yet. It wasn't settled yet. To hearken back to the special music that was ministered to us, he was not still yet. And once again, it says he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Jesus loved the Father. Jesus did not say, "This is what I want. This is what you want. But I want what I want more than I want what you want." And that, my friend, is the struggle of all of our lives, all the time. That's why we're using a verse this month which says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." That is not reality because we're saved. That's reality because we say to ourselves, "Calm down. Be still. God rules." That doesn't mean everything turns out in such a way that we see the evidence of that. I mean, the dearest ones on the planet, the very one who said to Jesus in the text we read tonight, "To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life. And we are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." That very one said on this night, "I don't know him. I don't know him. I do not know him." Jesus loves his Father. Jesus loves sinners. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, whosoever believeth in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. And again in John 3, "He that believeth on the Son," the Son. "He that believeth on the Son." Not "he that believeth on God." Not "he that is religious." Not "he that hath faith." The faith is not the issue. The faith is not the issue. The issue is the Son. He that believeth on the Son. He believeth on Christ. It is the object of the faith that always matters, but not the faith. It's the object of the faith. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." And "he that believeth not the Son," no matter what he believes, "he believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." How can it be that some people have faith in Jesus Christ and therefore, on the merit of Christ, they have life that will only get better forever? Everlasting life. How is it that there are other people who are no more unworthy than these people? These people are not more sinful or wicked than these people. These people are not more human than these people. But how is it that these people, of them God says, my wrath stays on them. It's no wonder they feel guilty. It's no wonder they resort to alcohol and anything else. It's no wonder they feel gloom and darkness and despair. The wrath of God abides on them. Why? Because this father who heard this prayer takes it very personally when people don't trust Jesus. Because he paid it all. What a mockery it is, far beyond what the soldiers did, when a person hears the gospel and says, maybe another day. Not me. Not today. But we know something else. Jesus loves me. Amen. Listen to a passage of scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll read it in just a moment again. We read in John chapter 6 about how Jesus took just a handful of fish and bread. And with these thousands of people there, and the unbelief of the disciples, took the fish and the bread. And the scripture is so clear that he said, he gave thanks. What an amazing thing it is how God will quite routinely in our lives give us situations where his supply seems to be so meager, so very insufficient. Or maybe his promise seems in some sense so very hollow, so just not enough. Until we give thanks. As he did. And we say, what you have given is enough. And then we find that in fact, it is. There's another time when he gave thanks. 1 Corinthians 11 puts it like this. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Jesus loves you. My brothers and sisters, when we bow our heads tonight, when we pray, when we portray the death of Jesus, he didn't die for the world. He died for me. That's what you want to think about. He died for you. This is very, very personal. It's not just corporate. It is that. He did die for the world. But that's not the point. The point is he died for you. For me. One-on-one. This is enough. We need nothing. But we are relentless about trying to have it our way. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain, I say it's nothing. I count but loss. And then I pour hatred, loathing, contempt. I'm horrified at my pride. I just pour contempt upon my pride. The question tonight, brother and sister, is not whether Jesus loves you, Jesus loves me. The question is, do you love Jesus? There is no question that he is calling you to love him more. There is no question that he is calling each of us to take steps of self-denial that I know nothing about in your life and you know nothing about in mine. But there's no question that in the perfect plan of our God, he is continually designing for us areas where we walk right straight into the Red Sea and the army's coming right after us and we think we've got two choices when in fact, we have three. It's not death by sea, or death by army. It's victory through God. Don't know how he's going to do it. Doesn't matter how he does it. He put me right here, right now. Calm down, Dan. Be still, my soul. Let's pray together. Father in heaven,